Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. And we have a special guest for you. Our good friend of the ministry is back, and I know you'll be getting a lot of information that's just going to bless your heart. So either that or get you really mad. Either way, you need to get a notepad and pen ready because these interviews go super fast. It seems like we just get started and we got to wrap it all up. And that happens every time I talk to John Meacham. John has served Christ Church as a Christian author, lay pastor, a supply preacher, elder, workshop leader, small group coordinator, Bible study instructor, Sunday school teacher. I mean, he's run the gamut and working for the body of Christ. And as part of his church work, John developed a small group program titled AIM, which stands for An Involved Membership, and prepared a group study guide for the book, Is Your Church Heavenly? A Question from Christ for Every Christian, published in 2008. John Meacham spent 8 days at the Sea of Galilee in 2005, and during this time, he received a new revelation from Christ that involved messages that spoke of the state of the seven churches in today's modern time. He previously released his work, Is Your Church Heavenly?, and it details both his experience and the messages he received, and I recommend that book to you. You can contact John about getting a copy. But today, we're going to continue our discussion about the heavenly church, and it involves Jesus's messages to the churches today. And if you missed any of the previous episodes, go back and listen to them. This message is so important. And the episodes you need to go back to in our archives is episodes 411, 412, 435, and 436. And we don't have time today to go over the information we covered in those episodes. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those as well as what John has to share for us today. Amen. Now help me welcome back to the program our good friend, John Meacham. John, thank you for coming back on the program and your willingness to share these important messages with the modern church today, especially here in America.
Well, Pastor Bob, it's great to be with you again. And like you said, we're going through the Heavenly Church page on my website, dazzlinglight.org. The website opens with 7 messages that I received for the churches in America from Jesus back in last year, almost exactly today. It was 1/28/18 that I received these messages. And before I get too far, I need to say something to you. All Happy right. spiritual birthday on Friday. I know that 1/25 is your spiritual birthday.
Amen.
You talked about my trip to Galilee. The culmination happened on 1/25/05, your spiritual birthday. And I was at the Earth and Stone stage in Galilee. I've got a picture of the Earth and Stone stage here in front of me, waiting for Jesus' second coming. And before we get too deep into today's message, I just want to remind you and me and your listeners that it's so important to be born again.
Oh, boy.
Because the warfare going on in the world today, it seems to mostly be physical, and the spiritual world is being totally neglected. In other words, Satan is ruling the spiritual world because Christians are not going and seeking to let God control their lives and to be born again and to come into the spiritual world, and we're just falling further and further behind.
Yes, we are. That is so true. And, you know, the problem, I see it all the time. Our churches today, they're basically just shells of what Jesus meant for the church to be. I mean, in my opinion, the American church, not all, but a lot of them today, are just social clubs with virtually no biblical significance in American culture anymore. I mean, you can see the lack of their impact all over the news. I mean, life is nothing like it was 40 or 50 years ago, and I say it's time that we call them out on it, don't you?
Well, I think you kind of set the stage for my thinking in one of our earlier interviews when you said that you don't lay the problems in society at the feet of politicians. You lay them on the steps of the church.
Absolutely.
And you and I have on numerous occasions talked about the church of today is more like a business with a marketing plan to get folks in and to get their money. I mean, it's you go to their websites, and I go to websites and send emails to a lot of churches and a lot of pastors, and they're more sophisticated than most commercial websites that I visit. They're looking for money, and they're looking for more people. And some of them have a stated purpose that they're out there looking to introduce people to Jesus Christ, but there's no real evidence when you see the website. There's no evidence when you go into the facilities. They seem to be more and more concerned with numbers and dollars, numbers and dollars, numbers and dollars.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And all it seems like that's really the focus. I mean, it's all about, you know, God wants to bless you, and He does. God wants to prosper you, okay? And God will bless you by prospering your church. Hello, where did that twist come from?
I think
your paycheck.
Pastor Bob, I think it's a natural twist because it's an Old Testament twist. In other words, in the Old Testament, God took care of His people. In other words, the whole story of Job, you know, Job is the best story in the Bible to promote the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. In other words, Job was prosperous. Then God took everything away, and Job spoke out in favor of God, and then the story ended up, Job was prosperous again. But we have to remember that there's a New Testament. Life and relationship to God started over when Jesus Christ came into the world. And Jesus Christ did not preach self and self-preservation. Jesus Christ preached sacrifice. In other words, Jesus said, I came into the world to do God's will, and God's will for Him was to die on the cross. There's nothing prosperous about that. There's no good life about that. There's no happy ending to that except one thing, and that's heaven. And that's what we need to focus on in the church today, is not this life, but the heavenly life. We need to bring heaven down into the church. You know, I'm always telling you this wonderful line I got from David Ruiz, a Canadian worship leader, and he wrote it in his book, The Worship God is Seeking. He said, in church, in Christian worship, the rule and reign of heaven breaks through. God is here, and we will never be the same. Imagine, Pastor Bob, if every Sunday in every church, every Christian in every pew, every pastor in every pulpit experienced the presence of God in their worship service. Amen. What would this country be like if that happened each and every Sunday?
Oh, boy. Yeah. And the thing is, pastors don't want to preach that. You know, they don't want the people to be under conviction anymore. They want them to just come as you are. But the problem is, you know, Jesus says, come as you are, but don't leave the same way you came in. The pastor's saying, come as you are, everything's fine. You know, and they leave
it there.
Well, I think,
you and I have touched on this. I don't know if we've said it on the air, but I know we've said it to each other in our personal conversations. Nobody's willing to step on toes.
Exactly.
They don't want to tell people that you're wrong. They want to tell people that it's wrong to be a sinner. And it is wrong. I mean, but that's why my pastor at the church I go to really had a great message this last Sunday about prayer. And he had this little acronym about the word prayer. P was for praise, R was for repent, A was for ask, and Y was for yield. And after the service, I went up to him and I said, Marty, you know, you used a word in that acronym that modern Christians don't use anymore. And Pastor Bob, I bet you know which word it was.
Pray.
Repent.
Repent.
You don't hear repent anymore. Yeah, you don't hear
true.
Pastors
yeah.
telling them, you're wrong. You've got to repent from your sins. And, you know, that's a great lead into our message today. We're on the fourth of Jesus' messages to the church. We're on the fourth Heavenly Church sermon, and it's titled Practice Intolerance of Sin. Mm-hmm. And Jesus' fourth message to the churches in America, Jesus says to the angels in the churches, write, this is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes blaze like fire, whose feet shine like polished brass. Turn away. Turn away from your desires for sex and money. Hold firmly to your faith in me until I return to Galilee, for I am now calling you to prepare Christian churches for my second coming. Christ now seeks Christians who will speak out against the sins of today and will help their brothers and sisters turn away from the darkness of hell toward the light of heaven. You know, you and I have shared on numerous occasions how the book of Ezekiel means so much to both of us. Both of us can trace our call back to the book of Ezekiel. And my call to the church comes from Ezekiel chapter 43. And if you don't mind, I'd like to spend just a few minutes talking about how that call is coming into the world today. In chapter 43, the first couple of verses read that the man took me to the gate that faced his east, and there I saw coming from the east the dazzling light of the presence of the God of Israel. Now, I know you've been to my website, and you've seen the picture of the dazzling light, and you know the website's titled The Dazzling Light, and if you ever get emails from me, it's from John at Dazzling Light. But this was all a real experience. In other words, and we've talked about this a little bit before on 1783, the Holy Spirit called me out into the yard, and I looked into the northern sky, and there were these huge, huge black cylinders, like giant water cylinders that would lead to a nuclear plant. They were a mile wide, and they were rolling on top of each other, 9 or 10 high, and it was rolling through the sky. And then all of a sudden, this gigantic light comes down from the cylinders. It emerges through the gaps in the cylinders, and it was huge. It was like each light was like a football field in size. And there were four of them connected together, shaped like triangles, connected on their right and left corner. And this thing starts moving towards me in the sky. Pastor Bob, I was absolutely terrified. I dropped to my knees, and I looked up, and the dazzling light was about ready to overcome me. I thought, I'm going to die. This is it. This is a good way to go, but I'm dead. And then all of a sudden, it changed shape. It changed into the shape of a Moravian star, and it flew into a dogwood tree that I was kneeling beside. Now, I'm sitting here looking at a picture that I have of this, and, you know, a couple of things about that experience that implies to the world today. First of all, when the dazzling light changed form, that was symbolic, a sign of Christ coming into the world. You know, the dazzling light of the glory of God changes form into the iridescent Moravian star, and it goes into a dogwood tree. Now, I don't know if you know the Christian legend about the dogwood tree. I love Christian legend. I think this is the neatest story.
No,
but supposedly, the cross was made from a dogwood tree, which was a hardwood back in that day. And then after the cross of Jesus was made from a dogwood tree, it became a softwood. And the flower, as you know now, is a white flower symbolizing Christ. And there's a red spot on each of the white flowers, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
And I thought, oh my gosh. You know, but I didn't see all that first day. You know, I had a fever of 103, and I went back into the house, and the Holy Spirit led me to a passage in Kings where it described Solomon looking at this light and the dark clouds going into the temple. Well, dropping back to Ezekiel, it says, God's voice sounded like the roar of the sea, and the earth shone with the dazzling light. Well, as you know, and as you can see on my website, I also, in addition to seeing the dazzling light come through the sky, I heard God speak from the fiery cloud, which was the same fiery cloud that he led the Israelites in. And we've talked about this before, but from that fiery cloud, God said, make it simple, get it right. And you know, Pastor Bob, that's what folks need to do today.
Simple preaching.
Because here I'm sitting looking at the painting I had of the dazzling light. It was interesting, a little quick aside about the painting. I commissioned the guy to do the painting, and the first time he called me over to view it, I looked at the light. I said, that's not big enough. I said, this light was huge. I said, it would dwarf everything you got in the picture. So he made it a little bigger. And I said, now, I also want to have myself kneeling down beside that dogwood tree. So I went back, Pastor Bob, a couple of weeks later to do the next viewing. And I looked at the picture and I said, well, I'm not in it. Why am I not there by that dogwood tree? And you know what the guy told me? He said, the Lord told me to leave you out of the picture. That the picture ain't about you. It's about the light. And I thought, okay, I'm clear. I got that. So, but what I did was I took this picture. I made some posters. And then on the bottom of each poster, I have the words that the Holy Spirit led me to about when God said, make it simple, get it right. And the full leading of the Spirit is make life simple. Get life right through Christ Jesus. Put God first. Pastor Bob, what would happen with Christians today if our life, we were focused on making life simple, making life righteous, believing in Jesus Christ, and then putting God first? What would happen to Christians if they could live that every day?
Oh, God. I mean, it draws them closer to Christ, closer to God, and it actually will repel the sin nature. I mean, you know, once you start standing for what's right, you automatically turn your back on what's wrong.
Amen. Amen. That's the whole essence of it. Says here, turn away. That's the essence of the word repent. Turn away from your desires for sex and money. You know, in the original letters, Jesus said sexual immorality and idolatry. But he's gotten more specific now. And I think in this letter, too, he says Christ now seeks Christians who will speak out against the sins of today. Mm. Now, you sent me your call for 2019, and in 2019, you're being called to speak out to the tolerance of sin that's recognized in the churches today.
Yep, that's right. Amen. And I've been doing it each week so far.
How do you see, what are you experiencing when you're, first of all, what do you see as some of the sins that not only in the churches, but in our society, we're tolerating today?
Oh, well, let's just talk about sexual immorality. You know, the acceptance of, you know, fornication and shacking up. You know, it used to be, you know, if someone actually got a divorce, it was like, oh, they got divorced. You know, that was the talk of the town. Today it's like, yeah, they split up, and he's shacking up with this girl, and she's over here, and so he's not coming to church anymore, but she's got this boyfriend. They're living together. They got another baby. That's fine, you know. It's just the church has adopted the culture rather than the culture adopting the church. I mean,
amen. Yeah. What a good the church has adopted the culture of society.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep, that's right.
And what does that do to the church? Once the church starts adopting the cultures in society, what happens to the church?
There is no church. It becomes the society's culture. That's why I say it's more, church today is more of a social club than it is preaching, you know, pulpit to change people's lives. It's like, oh, you're fine just the way you are. You know, you don't have to change. God loves you, you know, and it can't be farther from the truth.
I don't know if I've talked to you about this, and my pastor even said something when he was, we just recently did a 3-week Bible study, and, you know, he said, begin each day with meditation, with Bible study, and with prayer, and focus your life on God each morning, and include things in your life that help you draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I've been doing devotions ever since I was born again on 10/24/82. And one of the things I've been doing recently, though, he suggested, you know, listen to Christian music. Yeah. And recently I discovered the group Hillsong Worship. I don't know if you ever listened to Hillsong Worship.
Yep. Yep.
But they are remarkable. And I'm now including them at the last part of my devotion. Well, the first time I ever saw an Hillsong video, it was What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong Worship. And if anybody wants to listen to something that's marvelous, it's, It's Hillsong Worship, Grace to Grace, and Your Word, and What a Beautiful Name. Those are my three favorites. But Pastor Bob, I was watching this video, and I looked into the audience, and I said, my gosh, those people can see Jesus. Those people can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, in Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, he talks about the singing, that heaven is full of singing and the music coming from the angels' wings. And his final moment in heaven, he said, and I was singing too. And I even posted on, as a little comment on the YouTube, that this is heaven, because that's what it looked like. All these people singing and hands raised, praising the Lord. And it was just remarkable. But Pastor Bob, what hit me and what was so eye-opening about it, I said, wait a minute. How could this happen? How could you get an arena in this country, in the United States, with 20 or 30,000 people, and all of them look so in tune with Jesus and so filled with the Holy Spirit? So I scrolled down the video a little bit, and guess where it was? It was in Sydney, Australia. These are not Americans. This is an Australian group, and the people were Australian. They're not hung up with all of the sins and all of the self that we are in this society. They're singing and praising the Lord as if he's a part of their every moment. And, you know, every song was a mountaintop experience compared to stuff I've seen in my life. And the one song that probably means the most to me theologically, and I hate to use that word, but it, but it really applies, is the one, Your Word. That Your Word is changing the world. And Pastor Bob, when they show through the audience, they're people, you can see their lives changing by meeting Jesus Christ right there during that song.
Amen.
And I think when we look at repentance, when we look at believing in Jesus Christ, life has to change. You know, as you're addressing sin from the pulpit, as you're addressing the need for repentance and the need for changing our lives, the people in the pews, do they even get it? Or do they even want to change? Do they resist you? Or do they say, amen, Pastor Bob, we need to change?
Oh, I know. And, you know, whenever I'm delivering a message like that, you can see people squirming a little bit, which tells me, oh, that one just hit home. Instead of them, oh, yes, amen, hallelujah, you know, it's like, ooh, that one hurt. And I tell them, you know, if I'll even say that from the pulpit, like you said in the beginning, you know, if I'm stepping on your toes right now, you shouldn't have your toes sticking out there, you know.
But, very good. Oh, I like that one. I like that one. That's very good.
You know. And I hold the pastors completely responsible for the lack of spirituality in their congregation. You know,
Why do you think pastors are not promoting spirituality in their congregation?
Simple reason: they don't have it themselves. And
oh,
that's the
goodness.
Problem. That's the problem.
Well, you know,
they've been brought up
I
in a generation of entitlement. The pastors today are, on average, you know, I'm talking the modern, you know, like they've been in ministry maybe 15, 20 years, something like that. So they're in their 40s, you know, maybe approaching 50. Their generation is the one that has been part of the entitlement crowd, you know. Well, you can do anything you want. You can have everything you want, you know. You just, and then they've adapted the prosperity gospel, you know, generation. They may say they're against it and all that, but yet the preaching, you know, started by Rick Warren and all that is, well, we don't want to offend anyone, so we'll take the crosses off the wall, we'll paint all the walls black, put spotlights everywhere, and make it look more like a nightclub than a church, because that'll draw the modern crowd in. You know, the modern crowd is what we want to turn away. I mean, we don't want to adopt that culture. You know, you want to adapt.
We want to turn the modern crowd to heaven. We want to turn the modern crowd towards heaven. These people in Australia, they're looking up at heaven. Pastor Bob, there's some of the faces and people that they're painting in that audience. It's, you know, I start crying when I see them. It's almost like they see Jesus right there. Yeah. I mean, they are so
tears running down their face.
Exactly. Tears running down their face.
Yep.
people speaking tongues into other people's ears. I mean, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit is stronger there than I've ever seen in any gathering in this country.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with John Meacham. I hope you're getting a lot out of this. Every time John comes on, we get talking, and it just seems to, the Holy Spirit just brings things out that, you know, that actually needs to be said. There's no easier way of saying that except the Holy Spirit is using John, and he's using this conversation to bring things to light that pastors need to hear and Christians need to hear, especially in the American church. You know, today we're talking about practice the intolerance of sin. This is part of the message that Jesus gave to John to share with the modern church, and that's where we're at today. Now, we're going to continue this conversation. We still got some more messages to go, but you need to go back and you need to look at what it is your church is actually preaching. I mean, that's not to say you got to preach fire and brimstone every message and everything like that, but you need to make sure that whatever it is you're preaching is the Word of God, you know, that it's actually making an impact in this earth and enlarging the kingdom of heaven. You know, John has this special group called the Armies of the Kingdom of Heaven. You need to go to his website, dazzlinglight.org. You need to check it out. Research all the things he's talked about, because these are important things that the modern church and every person on this earth in this day and time needs to know about and needs to understand. Join us tomorrow as we can continue our interview with John Meacham. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.